This fellowship really here is for real people that want to know God, want to receive the words gladly, and want to continue steadfastly, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. And there's wonderful people here. And there's wonderful people that haven't made it on tonight. And they're great, and God's with them. And if anyone does any cleaning of the house, it's God. Like, he separates out the wheat from the chaff, and he removes different situations, and because people's hearts might have changed on some things. But the thing is, we're not after our own agenda. We want God's agenda, you know. When we're moving in a direction, there shouldn't be any division, because we're moving with God, right? We want the things that the Father wants. We want to do the will of him. It's when our will comes in, that division comes in, right? Or that people walk off or they go their separate ways. But we're not going any separate ways. We're staying right here. I ain't going nowhere. I will continue. I'm going places with God, but when it comes to moving with the fellowship and the direction, I'm staying in that same spot with God, because we're in a great place, you know, and God brought us to this point for all these years. And before, I'm still not going to share now. I just want to welcome on Dylan. God bless you, Dylan. I got a message from Judy. She sent me a picture of her smiling face. She's on a boat and she's enjoying herself. And I said, I'm jealous. I wish I was with you. But there's wonderful people, you know, there's wonderful people, and we're all at different stages, different levels. Like I said earlier on, everything's about levels, isn't it? You know, where are we in our level? Where are we in our commitment? Where are we in our giving and receiving? Where are we in our connections? And you can go as far with God as you want to go. There's no one that can stop you. Desire and going to God and telling him, look, I want to live for you. I want to move for you, and I'll go where I'm going to be encouraged. And see, really, it isn't about getting on people's backs and reproving this and reproving that. No, those things will come up, because all scripture and all words from God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the thing for us is that we're not chasing anyone. We don't need to chase anyone, because God's doing the work. You know, we let God do the work. We let God work in Peter. If someone wants to go off and be carnal, walk with the carnal, five senses mind, let's use that word. If some other people don't like it, if someone wants to be five senses, let them be five senses. In fact, Paul said in Corinthians, let him who is ignorant be ignorant still. Let him carry on. It's not our responsibility to make sure people are doing things. It is our responsibility is to preach forth the sound doctrine. This is what you need to do. You know, if you're going to move with God, if you're going to follow the, okay, do these things and move in that direction with God, but no one's monitoring you. You can hear the words I'm saying, so you can take these words to God and you say, okay, Father, now this is what I've heard. This is what I understand. I want to move in this way. You show me. You lead me. You guide me. You provide for me. Help me to understand. Give me that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to read the Bible to understand either, because you can hear the words. Faith comes by hearing the words from God as well as the word or the scriptures of God. So the scriptures is the word written. Okay, it's called the graphe. It's called the graphe. So the Bible's great to have. We can read the records. We can read the stories. And there's also things that are addressed to us in our day and time as born-again believers. The things that were in the Gospels are not addressed to us, because that was under the law in the Gospel administration. Jesus was speaking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was talking to Israel. And then there was other things that he says that we can take on and we can learn, like, all scripture, you know, is there to benefit from. But there are things that are addressed to us today. And the one thing that is addressed to us is that we have access to God. You know, you've got direct access to God. You know, you don't have to take any classes. You don't have to go to any churches. You don't have to go to any denomination. You can go directly to God. And you'll go there through someone speaking to you. See, this is the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. The good news. This is good news that you can live a better life than you're living now. You can live that spiritual life. You know, we was talking about the carnal and the spiritual, the five senses. So when I was born into this earth of my mum and dad, I was a carnal person. I was body and soul. Okay, body, breath, life, I was me. But I didn't have no spirit. But when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has sent him to save the world and to, that he gave his life for my sins, and that his blood covered my sins, his beatings and his flesh that was broken, his body that was broken for my healing. When I believed, when I said Jesus is Lord, yeah, Jesus is my Lord, and I believed in my heart God raised him from the dead, I received the Spirit of God. That means I received eternal life. And in the book of Ephesians, which is actually addressed to us today, to the church of God, okay, the body of Christ, it says that that spirit that we received is that it's sealed up in us until the day of redemption. So if I go into a shop and I see a coat I like and it's the last coat of its kind, I could put a deposit down. Or say like £50, say it's £100. And when I get the other £50, I can come back and I can redeem that to me. Well, God's put his spirit upon us. He's put a deposit in you when you confess Jesus as Lord. And you're a child of the Most High God. And so when Jesus comes back to gather the church, you'll be gathered, you'll be redeemed. God's going to get his prized possession, which is you. You are his prized possession. You're on his mantelpiece. Your face is always before him. And you have direct access to God. In fact, you're right in the presence of God now. Do you believe that? I can't see. All I can see is living room walls. No, you are in the presence of God. You don't have to do any rituals to get access in the ear of God. If you want to speak to God, he's listening right now. He's saying, bring me all your cares. Bring me all your burdens. Bring me all your worries. Bring me all your concerns. Bring me all your desires. Bring me all your problems. Like Sangate says, if you've got one problem, take the one problem to God. If you've got a million problems, take the million problems to God. Whatever you've got, you give it to God. Like, just give the thing over to God. And then, if we're trusting God, we're not going to take it back off God. God, I have this problem, and I don't know how to deal with it. I'm giving it to you. And then 2 minutes later, well, I'm still worried about this problem. We're taking it back when we do that. We've got to just keep giving it to God. Father, I thank you that you've heard my voice and you always hear me when I pray. I thank you that this problem or this person or this situation, that you know all about it and you are taking care of it for me. And I'm casting all my cares to you, God, because you told me to. You said cast all your cares to me because you care for me. And so, Father, I'm giving everything to you. Because you really, really care for me. And this is one thing we've got to kind of understand. God really, really cares for you. He's a God that sees in order to provide. It reminds me of Hagar. When she was chucked out by Abraham and by Sarah, she was left with a baby and went into the desert. But God cared. God sent an angel in there to take care of her. And to help her. God sees in order to provide. He sees your need. He's saying, don't worry. Come to me. Give me all your burdens. I see what you're going through. I'm a God of healing. I'm a God of provision. I'm a God of light. I'm a God of deliverance. I'll be your light in your darkness. I'll be your comfort in the storm. I'm holding you by the right hand. I am with you. Now follow me. You know, Jesus Christ came to show us an example of how we can live before God. Jesus was not a wimp. You know, he confronted many different situations. He confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees with their wrong teachings and misleading God's people. He corrected them. He forgave people. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He provided for people by going to God. We're supposed to be able to do that, right? You know, when all these hungry people came, he went to God, and God showed him what to do, and God provided and multiplied the bread and the fish. It's called a miracle. You know, God made things last. God made things stretch. He can do that for us. And he is such a great God. He can do anything. You know, Jesus done those things. He prayed to the Father, thank you, hear me. And I take this bread and this fish and I give you thanks. And then he gave the bread and the fish to his disciples. He said, now go and feed them. They had to walk in faith as well. They had to receive what Jesus gave to them. It wasn't just Jesus. Jesus prayed, but he gave the basket with the fish and the bread to the disciples. They, you know, and as he broke it, it was being multiplied. All the atoms were remaking it, breaking it, remaking it. And that's how they was able to feed everyone with 12 baskets left over. Right? And that's a lot. It was masses of food. 4,000 people, I think there was two times that happened. And it was, that's what you call a sign, miracle, and wonder right there. And it was done through Jesus, who was a man, filled with the Spirit of God. He was the Son of God. Now we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. It says that we are as he is in this world. In this world, we are as Jesus is. How is Jesus now? It's not how Jesus was and how he walked the earth. But is how he is right now at the right hand side of God, so are we. Well, he's very powerful. He's in charge of everything. God has put everything into his hands. Everything. In the whole universe and the world, everything. All situations are all in the hands of Jesus Christ until such a time everything is complete and done and all power and authority by Jesus is given back to God. There's no difference to Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave Joseph all the power of the land and of the, everything apart from the throne. He was still Pharaoh. Pharaoh was still Pharaoh, but Joseph had all the authority that Pharaoh could have used himself. He gave it to Joseph to delegate and to make decisions. He had the key, the signet ring. Jesus is doing the same right now. You've got to know who your Lord is and what he's doing. He's busy. He's not just sat there, you know, he's busy and he rules and reigns. He is the CEO, he's the chief. God's over Christ and Christ is over us. Okay, so we come to God with a humble heart and in the name of Jesus Christ. We come before God as Christ. I don't go before God as Lawrence. Hi, God, it's me, Laura. You know, Laura lives in 9 Poplar Drive, Oxford, Bristol. It's me. Hi. Would you do me a favour? He doesn't see it. It's not like that. When you go to God with a humble heart into his presence, you're in his presence anyway, when you go to him, you say, Heavenly Father, I come before you. He sees Jesus. He sees Christ in you. He's not seeing you. He's seeing the Christ in you. It's like Jesus praying. It's like Jesus asking. He's not saying no. God is not saying, this is so exciting, right? He's not saying no. It's only our doubts that get in there that hinders the prayer, hinders the answer, hinders the manifestation of stuff. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. You're not seeing Jesus yet. You're seeing Jesus, right? That's who he sees. When Bambi prays, he sees Jesus. There's no sex in the spirit. Not before God. We're all the same. Christ in you, though. That's why no one's better than anyone else. We may have different functions, but we can all function as sons and daughters of God. We can all heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go unto my Father. You should be healing the sick. You should be raising the dead. You should be cleansing the lepers. Listen, you can do it. I'm giving you permission right now in the name of Jesus Christ to go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, to open your mouth, to speak the word. Nothing happens until the word is spoken first. The word from God. Signs, miracles, wonders follows the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of what is available. We let people know what is available from God. Well, it's available for you to stand in the presence of God, like Jesus did. It's available for you to multiply bread and fish and to do signs, miracles, and wonders like Jesus did. It's already been doing and happening in during the power on a regular basis, not like on a one-off basis and there's 50 years that pass. You can heal the sick. We've been doing it here in England, in Bristol, in America, and in India as well. You can raise the dead. Now, there's many people being raised from the dead in India and Nepal that I've heard of. And we've heard some in England and some in USA, but maybe years and years ago. I haven't heard of anything recent, but in India it's recent. And different type of miracles and different details of miracles that have happened. I've ministered to many people that got healed. I know it works. I know. I can't deny it. I'd be denying myself if I say that it's not true. It's all made up just to get you come into fellowship. Why would I want to get you to come? I want people that are going to move with God. I want people like me. I want dedicated, not followers of fashion like the song. And he was a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek in here, they seek in there. Right, remember that song, the dedicated follower of fashion? Well, we're dedicated followers of Jesus. And we want to walk like he walked. We want to talk like he talked. We want to do the things like he done. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. It's God energizing within us as we believe. Jesus spoke to trees. Do you know that? He spoke to a bush. No one eat anything after you here with forever. And the tree died backwards. He spoke to the winds and the waves, told them to be still. And they obeyed him. He spoke to devils. Come out in the name of Jesus. He didn't say in the name of Jesus. He just said, come out. We can say that. We'd have to keep saying in the name of Jesus because we are in his stead. We say, devil, shut up and get out. Leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You can say it if you want. I say it out of habit, right? But you could just say, get out and just leave right now. We've seen these spirits come out of people. I was in Carl Morton's house. We've seen one lady had many spirits. Got totally delivered. The same type of thing happened in Portugal. Similar situation. We've been to India. We've seen women that were barren, that couldn't have children, receive children and get pregnant. Children that were on dialysis machines be totally healed. Blind eyes being opened, ears being opened, dumb speaking. We've seen it. We cannot deny that. So you could go right before the presence of God right now. Father, I thank you. Just, and you could be as confident as Jesus is and was in his day when he walked the face of this earth. Father, I thank you that you hear me. You always hear me. I thank you I am healed. I thank you I am whole. I thank you I am provided for. I thank you I'm blessed to be a blessing. I thank you that the storms around me are calming. I command devils out right now. I forbid them to operate near me or around me. And if they come near me, they will scream out and identify themselves so I can kick them out further. I thank you, Father, that devils tremble when I'm around because you're energizing me. That I'm submitted to you. I'm your man. And in and of my own self, I can do nothing but only what I see you do. I can say what Jesus said. Me and my Father are one. I only hear and speak what I hear my Father speak and what I see him do. That's what Jesus said. His mum, the very first miracle was changing the water to wine, wasn't it? And they went to this wedding. And obviously the wedding was getting going, the wine was running out, and the good wine and all that stuff. And so they went to Jesus, and Jesus' mum went to him and said, look, you know, we need some wine. He said, why are you bothering me about this? And then his mother had faith, because Mary had faith. She said to the servants, just do what he tells you to do. And Jesus, you know, God working in him, said to these guys, get the empty bowls or big baskets or what they were carrying, put water in, fill them up, fill it with water, and take it to the host, right? It's supposed to be wine, but it's water. But they obeyed what he said. They done what was spoken, what was encouraged to do. And because they'd done that, these guys knew that there was water in that. But they obeyed what Jesus, because it was Jesus and the authority of his word, they went and obeyed that. And then, so when they put their, you know, scoop in to draw out the wine, out of the water, it was wine. It turned to wine, and it turned to the best wine. See, God gives what is best. The Father knows best, and the Father gives best. So don't try and solve your own problems on yourself, you know. God gives us things that we can do. You know, Jesus gave those little servant people there something to do, and they had to obey it. You know, Jesus gave commands to the man that was in the temple. He said, stretch forth your hand. All the guy had to do was he had a withered hand. He couldn't move it. And Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. If it was today, we'd be saying something like, what are you doing? You having a laugh? I've got a withered hand, can't you see? No, he didn't do that. He was like, he believed that Jesus could do it. So he obeyed. And as he moved, then God energized the hand. Bang, healed. You can do this. You can do the same. If you believe on Jesus, which I believe everyone on here does, you can do the same works that he's done and greater. Let's get our attention to God and Jesus Christ and who we are in Christ and what we can actually do. And let's start doing. Say, Father, give me opportunity to minister healing. Give me opportunity to be bold and confident. If you're not very confident speaking, ask God to help you be in situations where you learn and need to speak, right? And if you want to see healing, Father, bring me and give me opportunity so I can minister healing. Now, don't go looking for it. First thing people do is they go looking for it. No. Like Pam was saying, God will bring the laborers. He will bring the opportunities. He will bring the open doors. And do that. Like, move through the open doors. And move through the God open doors. We want God open doors. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, we got good hearts, right? All of us. So when we see someone that may have a need to be healed, you know, we can say to them, you know God can heal you. Don't just go and say, well, let me heal you. I'm going to heal you now. No, don't do that. You give people an opportunity. Do you believe God can heal you? You can say to someone. And they say, what do you mean? Then you can share. So some now faith can come to them. And you can say, I can heal you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come in that authority and in that name. And if you believe God can heal you, then through me, I can minister to you right now and you can be healed. Would you like me to minister healing to you? And don't push it. If they say yes, okay. And then you just do what God puts in your heart. Lay your hands on them. Say a prayer. Sometimes I pray before I minister. Sometimes I just minister straight away. Okay, be healed right now. And, you know, and the result's not on you. Right? Just begin. Just begin to minister healing. If you want to see these things happen, number one, you've got to preach. You need an open door to preach. You need a God open door to do it. Stop kicking the doors in yourself. I've done all that. Listen, if you want to know all about that, come and see me. Because I used to kick all the doors. I would speak to anything that moved. I would even witness to my shadow, but it kept running away from me. Even my shadow ran away. The point is, speak where God opens the doors. Right? Speak where he opens the doors. Now, I'll give you an example of this. I hadn't spoken to no one for ages, like as in witnessing and sharing with new people. But I've done the fellowship, I'm always sharing on here, right? Until I joined the gym down the road, right? So I gave up smoking, as you know, I put on weight and I'm in the gym now, right? And the door's just open, I'm talking all the time. I don't go to anyone. Now they come to me. I was even having a curry on Monday with my daughter Zara. She come with me this time. And the lady that works in there, Jessica her name is, She was in there. She come, oh, hello, Lawrence. How have you? I'm seeing. There's always opportunities to share, you know. But I don't go, as soon as I see them, I don't go preaching at them. You know what I mean? I get to know people, and then they ask me, what do you do? That's the first thing that how I start off. I'm a minister. What do you mean? Oh, what's a minister? And then I just tell them what I do. And then they're intrigued. They're waiting for me to go at them, and they're waiting for me to really preach them. You've got to come to my church. You've got to do. I don't say jack shit once I've shared that, you know. And then they ask me more and more and more and more and more, you know. And then I tell it, and they are intrigued. I mean, I haven't been to the gym since I've come back from Myrtle Beach. I went once. That was a couple of days ago, and I walked into again the steam room. It always seems to happen in the steam rooms. It's a little bit steamy in there. I went into the steam room, and there was about four or five young lads in there, and, oh, you're on Facebook, I know you. You're the preacher. And it was someone, I hadn't even known this person, this is someone new down there, but they recognised me from Facebook. And obviously they knew I was a preacher, right? Because obviously they've seen the post. If you go to my Facebook, you'll just see it's links to my website, where all the teachings are. And maybe you get a couple of family photos on there or whatever, but I just use it to promote the website so that people have got the links and they can go there if they don't get the email. So, you know, you just walk with God, live your daily life with God. You know, Sandgate, and I say to Sandgate on my one-on-ones, well, what do I do when there's nothing going on? He said, well, watch a film. Chill out, you know. Go and do something you like. Go for a walk, go to the pub, or whatever you want to do. If there's nothing going on, go and do what makes you happy to do. You know, you're with God. Not that you've got to be preaching and doing everything all the time. Go and do those things, you know. And then when the work comes, then you do it then. You do the work that God puts before you. Sankey don't chase absolutely no one. He has people coming to his house all the time. His leaders all want to go and see him. And then obviously he's encouraging his leaders, and he's encouraging his leaders and stuff like this. And so everything grows, and people are hungry and desire. And this is Sangate's meat. This is what he does. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me, right? And that's what our meat is, our work. Our meat is our work. And so I do the same thing. You know, I'm speaking to people every day now. Quite a few people through the day has increased. Thanks to Becky Jancy. Thanks to God, should I say. And now Van, and Van's promoting up. Yeah, I connect everything. And now other people are following it. It's great. And it's my work. That's my work. That's my meat. And with the one-on-ones, it's a two-way flow. It's not like, well, yeah, Lawrence knows everything. No, Lawrence don't know jack shit. I only know what God puts in my heart at the time, right? And then I'm also learning from you. If you come humbly, and if you come, like, with a heart to, you know, share what's going on, and you're being open and transparent, and then, you know, like, then I'm listening to what you're saying, I think, oh, that's really great. You know, I learn a lot of things. I learn more than what, you know, I learn a lot about yourselves. But I learn a lot of how God is working in people. You see what I'm saying? And it's a two-way flow. I get tremendously encouraged. So I'm always blessed with that side of things. Sometimes it's tiring as well, because obviously there's things to do here, things that Kim wants to do, and I kind of put her on the back burner. But I'm changing it up a little bit. You know, I'm still doing the one-on-ones. If I say I can do a one-on-one, I can do a one-on-one. If I say I can't, that means I'm doing something with my family or taking care of business or something else, right? But I'm here to serve you. That's how I serve God, by serving you. You know, and I'm not perfect in everything. I can honestly promise you, you know, I make mistakes, do things wrong, but we're all human, but we're not looking at, we don't look at each other after the flesh, the carnal, right? We renew our minds, man. No, I'm joking. We don't look after the carnal, and we don't need to tell people to renew their minds. It's really right what you're saying in that sense, because it's a cliche, it becomes a cliche, you know, well, how do you renew your mind? That's what me and Kim used to get all the time. Go renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. You know, well, I don't know fucking how to. Tell me. Tell me how to renew my mind. And the thing is, you don't focus. You see, we're saved by grace, not by works. And that's the whole deal. The only thing we have to do is to follow what God's showing. If we focus and do what God is showing and speak what he's speaking in the sense, then we're not trying to make things right. Oh, well, I used to do this and I used to do... No, no, just don't focus, don't do it anymore. Don't look at it anymore. Just move forward with God. That's what you do. You do that, those things that God puts in your heart. If you're someone that's an emotional type of person, then, you know, you want your heart filled with joy, don't you? So, oh, I need to focus on not being emotional. It doesn't work like that. Just put yourself into God and, you know, start praising, start singing, start doing something that's joyful. Look at Amber. I mean, Happy Amber. That's her nickname, because she's always bloody happy. And I try and get her on happy. No, I don't. But no, she's always happy, you know? And and it's always a blessing to be around when someone's happy and joys, you know, and you can say some stuff, you know, and she still keep her positive face. And I've been there being negative with her, and she's still keeping her positive face. And then she still comes with her angles, and sometimes it's annoying. You want to slap her, like, you know, or slap her, shut up, positive cow. No, I'm really joking. But it's really good that, you know, Daddy knows what I'm on about, Dan, don't you? But it's great. I mean, to be real honest with you, you know, like, it's great that we keep that happy place, you know. Because who wants to believe in God that you believe in when you're not happy, when you're miserable, when you're complaining all the time? You know? No, well, we should have the joy of the Lord. The Lord led forth his people with sadness. In Isaiah, he doesn't say that. It says, the Lord led forth his people with joy and his chosen ones with singing. That's what we should be about. There's a lovely song, actually, I used to sing in the Pentecostal churches. The Lord has led forth his people with joy, and his chosen ones are singing. It's an upbeat song. Like, it's a really good song. And it's true. You know, so we have got the joy of the Lord in our heart, you know. Sometimes when we're looking at the negatives, we can become tripped out. You know, we can let the old man get in there without us realizing it. The old man that we've reckoned dead, you know. So it says to be wise as serpent, harmless as dove, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be sharp, because your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can trick out and devour. So let's keep on the ball. Let's keep it, you know, let's keep hot on the things. Again, speak in tongues much. Speak in tongues much. Speak by the Spirit like I've been doing tonight. Honor God with your money. Substance. Put your hand in your pocket. Put your hand where your heart is and then show it. Forth. Give liberally, generously unto God with joyfulness. Don't be stingy. As you sow, you reap. You know, pray for the laborers. You know, pray, Father, send me that one person that's equal to the billion. You are the control tower. I'm the airport. Send some tours, international airport. That one key laborer is equal to a billion. And the plane load of Redisco laborers. I need more. Enlarge my borders. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. That your hand is with me. That you keep evil from me so it doesn't grieve me or cause me pain. Father, give me people that are sold out to sell, that are going to move with you, that are going to receive these words gladly. Give me the doers of your word. Be specific about the labor you want. Give me the doers of the word. Those I don't even have to say anything to. They're just on it, like Sonic. So, Apple will send me speaking in tongues. And I say, sister, you're on it like Sonic. And that's it. Be on it like Sonic. No chasing. Pursue is a good thing. If you can't pursue, you're not humble. I pursue. And I'm a leader, but I pursue. First thing we pursue is God. That's where we pursue. And then as according to your need, then you connect. You pursue it. You might not really want to do it, but pursue anyway. See what God does for you. Because it's an obedient thing to do. It's something that's going to keep you hot and encouraged. You don't have to do it. You're free. You don't have to do none of this stuff. This is all freedom of choice. But if you want to move, then it's required before God, because God's given you the things for you to use so that you can prosper. He's given you the power to get wealth, not just wealth in money, but wealth in health, wealth in relationships, wealth in the outreach of his word, right? But we've got to do the things he's showing. God gives to a man which is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. That's what God gives to a good man, in his sight. If you're born again of the Spirit, you're that good man. God gives to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Threefold there. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. You know what a Trinitarian would say? See, that's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They use the phrase like that. I'd not say that. But God will give you wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, in the same person, Ecclesiastes, he gives travail and hard labor, that he may heap and give up to him which is good before God. So God, to a good man, gives the wisdom, knowledge, and joy, the power to get wealth from how we need to move and how we need to operate. But to the one that's not really, you know, the sinner that's not born again, and to the person that's not focused and they are born again, he gives them the hard labor. They'd be doing everything by the sweat of their brow, instead of by the Spirit of the living God. And that God's doing it by grace. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.